We've got our community board chairperson, Dennis Amor, here in the studio. Morning, Dennis.
Morning, Aaron.
So there was a community board in a week and a half ago, and maybe some things have happened since then. I know there's been part of the project, or one of the projects at the wharf is finished now, is it?
No, the pontoons go, well, everyone will see the pontoons actually out floating in the wharf.
Yeah.
The walkway will go in this week, I think it is.
Okay.
Everything's on target to still be completed by the end of April.
Okay. So is the walkway sitting there ready to go, or hasn't arrived yet?
I haven't been down over the weekend to have a look, but it's imminent if it's not already there.
Okay. All right. So, look, they will presumably, you won't be able to use the boat ramp and things.
There'll be short delays, but generally speaking, it's only an hour or so, and they let Sports Fishing Club know most of the time. But generally, the boat ramp is available. If you're going down there to launch your boat, just let the guys know and that sort of thing.
Are there other things that can be ticked off for the wharf project, just looking at the overall thing? Because this has been rolling for quite a while now.
Yeah, so the structure was completely finished.
Okay, so that was the piles underwater.
Yeah, all the stuff that you can't see.
Yeah.
That's all now complete. I think there's a bit of paperwork to wrap up on that and just get the completion notices in place, etc.
Yeah.
And then, like we say, the pontoon, which basically is going to include the barrier on the wharf, that'll be going in as well, like the railing, protective railing around. The wharf's still an operational wharf, so where the boats are moored at the front of the wharf will still be open for them to unload and load,
yeah,
and that sort of thing. But there will be an improved barrier around the dolphin area, and also on the fish and chip shop side,
okay,
where Mark Mathis has got his shop. Along that area, and also extending right down the eastern side of the wharf, the new barrier handrail will go all the way down that side.
Okay.
So the existing old wooden rail that's looking pretty dilapidated will be removed, and new rail go all the way down.
It's the sort of rail you don't want to lean on too hard at the moment.
Well, I think it's probably secure enough in that respect, but you know, it's looking a bit tired and things like that, so the new railing will improve the aesthetics of the whole place as well.
And the money is in place for the... We would call it the Western Walkway?
The money is there, so they're still working through the consenting process on that. My understanding is consents are lodged, so it's just a matter of getting all that finalised, and then the work is still anticipated to be carried out during the winter of this year.
Okay, but it's still... They've got to do the detailed design.
Yeah, the detailed design, preliminary design has been sort of run past the... community board and the project control group that was set up to sort of overlook the project, and they're doing the final design. Once that's out done, then that'll come out for to show the public what's planned.
Okay.
But effectively, it's extending the existing boardwalk from there right down to the corner of Tony Sly's shop.
Yeah.
So there'll be a bit of land reclaimed there. There'll be a walkway off to the side of the existing roadway. So basically we'll be able to keep the traffic and the pedestrians free of each other, and that'll go down there. And then all the walkway along the side of the wharf from Tony Sly's shop to the front of the wharf, that'll all be resealed, and new rail along the base go in and that sort of thing, just to tidy that whole area up. At the moment, it's all potholed and things like that. There'll be a new barrier arm to control traffic or vehicles onto the wharf going in as well.
Oh, okay. So there was that reminds me, there was a time a few years ago where suddenly we couldn't drive onto the wharf anymore because they were concerned about the structural integrity. I guess that's been taken care of by some of this work.
To a certain extent, but there will still be a loading restriction, and I think it's going to be around 10 tonne will still be the loading restriction on the wharf. So, great big heavy petrol tankers won't be able to drive onto the wharf. They'll still have to refuel the trawlers as they do now by stopping at the edge of that the wharf structure itself, which is basically reclaimed land up to that point, and then just run their hoses out, which they've been doing in the past anyway.
Okay, it's not like they can't do that.
No, so it's not going to create a lot of inconvenience to anyone, I don't think.
Okay, and it sounds like from the community board meeting we're going to be getting boat ramp fees at, I guess, all the ramps.
Well, we've, as part of the traffic bylaw, we have suggested they consider boat ramp fees. We've nominally sort of suggested it's that sort of $100 a year for those that don't live in the area. So we've suggested if you're a ratepayer or a member of the Sports Fishing Club, there'd be a discounted rate. For out-of-towners, there'd be a higher rate if they want an annual fee.
So
and a daily fee for those just use it on a very ad hoc basis.
So you get a card for a year?
Yeah, effectively get a card or something you stick in on your windscreen.
So the do the out-of-town people who are members of the local club get a discount?
Yeah, well, if they're a member of the sports fishing club, they would, yeah. So to encourage them to join the club as well.
Okay. That feels like something that's people might say, well, that's a benefit to the fishing club, not to the community.
Well, I guess you've got to then turn around and say, what benefits does the fishing club bring to the community in its entirety, you know? And they run fishing tournaments out here, so they get people coming into town. They stay overnight for some of these fishing competitions that run for 3 or 4 or 5 days. They run the children's fishing competition, which I think is coming up over Easter on Saturday, and things like that. So, you know, at the end of the day, they are doing some goodwill for the community as well. So I don't see the amount of money we're talking about. It's not significant, I wouldn't have thought. So I think there's some benefit, you know, and it's a win-win for everyone that way.
Is there an issue that because the community board's put this forward that the council bureaucracy will be like, oh, now we need to do a report and we need to do an investigation and all that kind of thing, do you think?
I'm not going to second guess our council. But there's enough information out there where other, you know, before we did the submission, we did a bit of research around other harbours and councils and that sort of thing that have similar arrangements. So I think there's enough information out there to show, give you an idea of what the fees are typically throughout New Zealand, be it Nelson or be it up Coromandel or Taupo or whatever. And ours are in line with that. Some of them are a bit higher for the daily fees. Some of them are a bit lower. So I think there's enough information. So hopefully the council won't go into too much research into the matter. I guess the big question will be how do they issue the certificates and then how do they monitor it?
Yeah. So it could be a while before it goes into place.
Yeah, and council at the end of the day, it's a recommendation to council from community board. The council may or may not take it up.
There were council staff talking positively about the idea a couple of years ago.
Yes.
I remember.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, all the money that would be raised from it would go back into maintaining those assets. And as we increase those assets, obviously maintenance costs go up as well. So, you know, it'd be good to actually have some other additional money coming in to cover those maintenance fees.
Yeah. And also given the load that the visitors put on the community, I think some kind of something in there needs to give a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so people will be able to... Well, it's too late to submit now, isn't it? Is the submission phase for that finished?
The submission's closed, I think it was on the 27th of March. So, yeah, for that and the public places bylaw, the submissions are closed. The only one still out there at the moment is the cemeteries bylaw.
Okay.
And that's out for submission, for comment, and that closes on the 16th of April.
Your wife knows a lot about cemeteries, Dennis.
Yeah, my wife.
Had her about in here a couple of weeks ago.
About people in the cemetery, but I don't know about how you run a cemetery.
Right, yeah.
But the new bylaw, just while we're talking about it, it's basically targeting a couple of things. Looking at allowing dogs on a leash to be within a cemetery area.
Okay.
And it's also looking at the issue of natural burials and whether we need a location for a natural burial. Certainly I don't think the Raglan Cemetery is suitable for a natural burial because it's quite wet in the wintertime. So they're looking at that and also allowing, at the moment, graves are not allowed to be backfilled by...
Non-experts?
No, by family members. I'm just trying to think the word. By family members, and they're looking to change that as well.
Okay.
So it's really around those things, natural burials, dogs on leashes and backfilling.
So what are the dates for that?
That closes on the 16th of April if anyone wants to have a say in that.
Okay, yeah. So get on the website, folks, or can they, if they talk to the local council office, can they get any info about that?
Yeah, there should be forms down at the local council that they can fill in or they can just shoot onto the website, just go into Waikato District Council's site, go to Say It, click on that, and then the bylaw ones come up and you can just go click on the cemetery one and you can fill out the form there and submit it.
Okay, all right. Something that was discussed amongst all the roading stuff at the meeting, actually I don't know if that specifically came up. There's this issue of the revocation of part of State Highway 23 to the council, including the bit that goes past the Greenslade Road intersection. So we know that bit of State Highway 23 is going to be given to the council eventually. after Waka Kotahi does a whole lot of work on it. So you're familiar with that.
I'm aware.
It's just been bubbling away in the background forever, but...
Yeah, I'm aware of... I don't know what the status of the Waka Kotahi is on that. I understand there's a culvert under the road there that has to be increased in size, I think it is.
Yeah.
And it's a fairly significant cost. And Gareth, when he was with Waikato District Council, made sure that didn't get passed to council before it was actually... The work was actually done.
Yeah.
So hence the boundary for where it changes to Waikato District Council from Waka Kotahi is sort of a little bit north of there,
yeah,
by Andre Tefero's sculpture workshop. So that's, I don't know what Waka Kotahi's timeline is to do that work.
So before you were community board chairperson, when Gabrielle was, I did email their comms department and ask them if they had it in their timeline, and they said they did not, and that it would need to be submitted to their long-term plan review, which I think is this year. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was, so my question, yeah, I guess, and it's not a question for you because you haven't been on this particular issue, but I guess we just need to make sure that the council is submitting to the long-term plan on that, because the, you know, Waka Kotahi's long-term plan, because everyone's concerned, well, a lot of people are concerned about the danger of that intersection, and we can't do anything about it while it's under Waka Kotahi's control.
Well, I guess the reality with that intersection, well, there's the two things. There's the culvert,
yeah,
and things like that, and there's the intersection. I think they need to be treated separately. I guess the thing with the intersection is, depending on where the subdivision is of that whole area, which the Elms family was looking at one stage, that intersection was going to disappear. So it's whether Waka Kotahi is prepared to spend any money on it while that subdivision and all that's going on with Waikato District Council. So I guess we need to probably establish where that, whether that's still proceeding or not.
Well, that comes to the big picture thing. But it would be nice just to slap a 60-kilometre-an-hour sign on there, or even 80, but Waka Kotahi doesn't move like that.
No. Well, I know Gabriel was pushing it pretty hard because it impacts her. She lives down there.
Her personal experience of trying to drive out of that intersection every day. Yeah. All right, well, anyway, that's just a thing. The Wee Nearer Walkway, folks, which is the bridge, always explain, it's the walkway from the Bow Street jetty round past the bridge to the where the little boat ramp is there by the fire station. That's, so there's been changes to, there's no budget for it, basically, is my summary.
Well, I guess that's the shortened version of it. They did start looking at a design to make it the standard trail width wide, which I think is 2.5 or 3 metres or something.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. But the reality is the finance is not there at the moment. We need to get that into the long-term plan going forward. However, they are looking at improving it and doing some maintenance work on it. So
what's to be improved? Is that like the structure?
Yeah, so the structure itself, you'll see, particularly on the fire station side of the bridge, a lot of the old limestone wall has broken down and disappeared, so they're looking at fixing all that up. We've also highlighted that the lighting needs to be improved or needs to be fixed up and made going again, and that sort of thing. So those would be two. They did talk about a handrail, but the question they have to be asked, if we're going to do it again in 3 or 4 years' time properly, then why put a handrail up now?
Yeah.
But we'll challenge council on that one once we know exactly what they're planning.
Okay, all right. The CCTV cameras, I know at the community board meeting that you still hadn't had any official word about who was getting what in that regard. Has anyone told you anything yet?
No, in the last 10 days I haven't heard any more. I know Lisa has been asking the question in council.
Yeah.
I'm in there again tomorrow, so I'll raise it again tomorrow to try and find out where this is going. Because we've got sort of 600K to cover, and the application was done by the police. So we just need to make sure that they consider our priorities as far as the CBD is concerned.
Because it was a district-wide application.
Yeah. So we just need to make sure Raglan's voice is heard in there so that we get what we want.
Yeah.
Even if it is only just getting up the existing four cameras or five cameras that we had, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think it was five, cameras that we had, so that they're all running again.
Yeah. Any updates on civil defence plans? I know it's a matter, like, there's plans to develop a plan, I guess.
Yeah, no. Civil Defence's plan is probably, well, it's probably top of my priorities at the moment, just to get it done and get it out of the way, because it's something that we can get done.
Yeah.
And we've got control of. But we had another meeting with Scott Bolt, who's the Emergency Management Coordinator for District Council.
Yeah.
So Lisa Ross and myself had a meeting with him last week. And at the moment, we are working through basically mapping what would be required, and then trying to identify within the community people who may be interested in some of the roles that will come out of it.
Yeah.
Because effectively, we're looking at a team of people. Well, I guess the objective is to have a civil defence plan that would allow Raglan to stand on its own for 3 days. That's the sort of target we're looking at.
Yeah.
And then by then, Waikato District Council can sort of respond and come in and help us and things like that. So it's a matter of having an incident controller appointed, and then someone in each of the sort of areas like iwi liaison, logistics, communications, and these sort of things. And I think we've identified eight key areas that we need someone in.
Yeah.
And then mapping the whole thing so we know where all the resources are within the community. And then finding people who are willing to fill these roles, and then getting them in place, and then doing the training for them. So the whole plan is to sort of, at the moment, we're looking at trying to get it mapped in the next couple of weeks, and that'll be just sort of managed by Lisa Ross and myself as initial draft, and then we'll meet with Scott again to find out what we want, what else we need. But if there's anyone out in the community who's interested in assisting with the process, or particularly if there is a civil defence emergency and have the time and are willing to help, then, you know, get hold of me.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing, is we can see what skills they've got and where they might fit into role. Because at the end of the day, if we end up with a team, basically, you know, if we're looking to be self-sufficient for 3 days, then we're going to need quite a lot of people to fill those various roles. And, you know, people are not going to work for 60-odd hours on the trot without a break, so there's going to have to be two or three people in each of the roles that can stand in for each other and things like that. And the good thing is District Council, through Scott, will arrange training for everybody and things like that. So I think we can put a pretty good plan together, and we can train people, then it can just be updated on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So we're working on that pretty fairly intensively at the moment to try and get that one organised.
Okay, that sounds good. Manu Bay Boat Ramp, this is the gift that keeps on giving. It's a bit of the news. Well, I don't call it news, but we've been talking about this for many years. Where are we?
Yeah, well, we were meant to have a stakeholders meeting. We were all promised a stakeholders meeting, I think it was around about the 27th of March. That date's come and gone, so I actually did last night send an email off to say, well, hang on, guys, what's happening and why is there a delay? And I'll chase Trevor Ringer up this week and just see what the hell's going on, because, like you say,
Is that the consultant you're talking about?
No, he's in council.
Okay.
The consultants, Tonkin and Taylor and Ecos, are the two consultants working on it. I don't know what's going on with those two. But, yeah, I'm certainly not impressed, and I know a hell of a lot of other people aren't either.
Okay. Planting. It was on the subject of Manu Bay. There's some planting happening out there and around the water tower. Is there? I've seen plans.
There should be.
Yeah.
There's certainly plans for the water tower, and we, as you know, we discussed that in the last community board meeting. The Manu Bay one, Lisa and I were speaking this morning, and that was one of the things that was on her list, and she's going to Glyn Morgan, who's the new open spaces team leader, and flagging it for him. I guess one of the challenges, and this is no excuse, but one of the challenges within council is just their turnover staff. And now, you know, we've now got a new roading manager and Grant Drogiga. We've got a new open places team leader in Glyn Morgan.
Yeah.
So with a bit of luck, Lisa and I have both had meetings with them in the last 3 weeks to sort of try and reinforce what's outstanding in Raglan, what's been promised and not done. So hopefully we'll just keep the pressure on them, and hopefully we'll get some movement on that. But the Manu Bay one, it's only a matter of 100-odd shrubs to be planted up on the hill. I'm struggling to see what it's not done.
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't answer your question, sorry, Aaron.
Well, I know. It's all right. You guys are on it anyway, I think.
We're still across it. Don't worry.
That's the main thing that we can get from that. There was discussion when it came up at the community board about the planting around the tower. Community board member Chris pointed out that the kids at the moment are crossing where there's a natural place for them to cross there, and then because they've got bikes, they're just sort of walking up their bike up in the gutter against the incoming traffic. He had a good suggestion to put in a ramp up or something. It's a good idea. What would it take to get that to happen, though?
Well, it's been fed back to council, so we've just got to keep the pressure on them to make sure we get it. It can be done. It doesn't necessarily have to be done at the same time as the planting.
Yeah.
It's really an additional thing that was highlighted at the meeting that would be beneficial and make it a lot easier for the kids. So the planting can go ahead if it's on their agenda, and then we just need to work on these steps in the walkway.
Okay, all right. So what have you got other projects you've been working on, that new things starting up that we don't know about?
There's some work. There's some stuff going on the trail strategy, and I'm going to get Mark Horsfield to see if I can get him to come to next community board to talk on the trail strategy.
So he's person who does that at the council?
He looks after that in the council.
Yeah.
So there's plans for more trails around around the district. So it'd be good to get him along to explain what they're thinking and what the timeframes are for those and things like that, because there are a lot of organisations within Raglan that are involved in trails, be it the walkways or be cycleways, and you know, we need to get them to participate in that planning as well.
Okay.
So there's that. I guess the other thing that's coming up this year, and Lisa is a better one to talk to it when you're interviewing her, but it's the long-term plan.
I was going to ask about if that was coming up. Yeah,
so that's coming up. There's a bit of discussion going on within council, and there's been a couple of workshops on sort of considering, you know, what needs to go into the long-term plan, considering everything that's happening on a global basis and a regional basis.
Yeah, we need to be prepared for our roads to be destroyed regularly by climate change effects. that's the feeling out there.
There's an opportunity for people to have an input into that too. So we'll be encouraging everyone to have a say on that.
But that is, folks, that's where the council spends its money. That's if you want a project done, if it doesn't show up there, it won't be happening.
Effectively, yeah. Yeah. No. So, you know, if there's things in Raglan that people are passionate about, then we need to know what they're thinking. And then we need to make sure we get them into that LTP, because that sort of sets the scene for the next 3 years.
And it was commented at a recent community board meeting that the bridge, the two-way, that's not a verb, turning the bridge into a two-way bridge, has been in the long-term plan but keeps getting put back every time. How much of a big deal is that bridge, or what are you hearing? Is the community concerned about that bridge?
Well, I use it every day, and I spoke my piece, I guess, at the community board meetings, that I don't see it as a huge problem other than on certain very busy weekends.
Yeah.
When it becomes, you know, a lot of people from out of town are using it. And I must admit, most people that live in Raglan are pretty courteous. You know, if there's a big stream of traffic, they'll stop and let them through. You don't get people charging to catch up to others too often and things like that. So from a local perspective, I think it's working reasonably well. Yes, it would be nice to have a two-lane bridge there. Is it the priority area for us to spend our money? I'm not sure. We've obviously got some big expenditures with wastewater coming up and things like that. It certainly needs to be in the plan, and we can't continually put it off, but can it wait 3 years or 6 years? It possibly could, but we need to seriously look at any further subdivisions. We definitely need to be looking at developer contributions going in that direction as well.
Yeah, and speaking of which, there's also the possibility of the road going round the back of town, arriving somewhere around the entrance to Extreme Zero Waste. I mean, might that happen before the bridge gets double-laned? And if it did, the bridge might not be, it might not be so urgent.
Well, possibly. I know I have heard, and I haven't had a meeting yet with the planners, but yeah, there's been talk of linking Wainui Road to Tūruwai Road to Mangatawhiri Road and things like that. I don't know how difficult that is. I don't know what the costs are of that against doing a new bridge. Probably it's a fairly extensive piece of roading system, so you know, the costs are probably similar, but it would be actually nice to divert some of that traffic out of the town centre.
Yeah, and that does bring up the issue we've talked about before of a structure plan for town, and I just want to tie that into the fact that it's the long-term plan year this year, like every 3 years. So is that, if the community wants to see some big picture planning for town and our future, do we need to get that in the council budget for the long-term plan? Is that the move? well, or we certainly, a move?
We need to get it moving forward. And as you know, I'm pretty passionate about getting something moving. And we have had some talks with council on the subject. And there is an appetite to ensure that all of the areas within Waikato District Council have got structure plans.
Yeah, okay.
And that sort of thing. So there is an appetite to do it. We just need to make sure Raglan's at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
That's what I'll be looking to try and achieve.
Okay. Is that everything we've got, Dennis?
I think that's all we've got. Thanks, Aaron.
Okay, folks, we've been talking to Dennis Aymer, our community board chairperson, and he's going to go out now and keep fighting for the community. keep putting pressure on. It sounds like we've used the word pressure quite a bit this morning, so keep doing that.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to talk to you.
Okay, folks, that was Dennis. We're going to be talking to Finn McAsee, permaculturist, in just a moment.